Hello, I'm Frank Kudler.
Hi, and I'm Jan Kepler, and this is the Two Voices, One Journey podcast.
The place to go when you want to hear two extraordinarily ordinary people talk about things that interest them. So anyway, Jan, since we were last on, actually I think about 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Academy Awards and how few, actually none, movies we had seen that were...
Zero, yes.
Yeah, it was a zero. Mm-hmm. Well, we've seen three in the last couple of days, trying to catch up. I think there's only one more on our watch list, but the three that we saw, well, the first one was Anora, which was the winner of the Best Picture, Best Actress, that was Mikey Madison, Best Director, Sean Baker, and Best Original Screenplay, and also Best Editing. So it really swept the night. I guess that's a total of five. I didn't just count them, but that's a total of five awards. And I'll be honest, I'd like to hear what you think about it. But for me, the film's critical acclaim is a bit of a head-scratcher. I can understand the actress nomination, the actress win. I thought she was very good in the role. Mm-hmm. I was... And this sounds strange coming from me, a horn dog, but I was put off by the amount of unnecessary sex there was in the movie. There was a lot of sex that didn't contribute to the plot, didn't really contribute to the characters. I don't know if you felt that way or...
No, I'm just surprised at your comment. So anyway, because normally you don't dislike that stuff. I didn't think it was too much. It was basically a story about someone who's in the sex worker trade or whatever you would want to call it. And things that happened to her. So, I don't know.
Well, I can say that I'm impressed by what they did with $6 million. I believe that's what they claimed that the budget was for that. And compared to other movies that cost hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, they put together a pretty good movie on $6 million.
It was. The acting, I thought, was very good, actually.
Yeah. The acting was good. It just didn't grab me, and it's not something I'm going to watch again. It wasn't an uplifting movie. It was built as a dramedy. I don't know where the comedy part came in. Maybe there was something funny in it, but I missed that. We also watched, and this was a surprise, we watched Flo, and that was the winner of the Best Animated Film. And we watched that with your brother, and I think all three of us were impressed by the visuals. Mm-hmm. I think while we were watching it, I mentioned it reminded me of Koi and Nastasi. It was just very relaxing to sit back and listen to the music and see the visuals. And there was no distracting dialogue. And the last thing I'll add on it, it was the right length. I think it was 1 hour and 29 minutes.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, it was. It was just very relaxing. It was a nice movie.
Yeah,
I actually enjoyed it, and it wasn't particularly cartoony or childish, but I thought it was beautifully done. The story was good, the music was good, and just felt better after having had watched that.
Yes, that's what I enjoyed about it. Was afterwards, it was a pleasant feeling, and I thought they really nailed the cat. With the cat behaviors.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah. Whoever did the animation for that, they definitely had cats.
Yes, they had some experience with cats.
Oh, yeah.
The other one we saw was A Real Pain, and that's kind of a mixed bag for me. On the one hand, Kieran Culkin, he won for Best Supporting Actor, and I can't argue with that because he was a real pain. He lived up to the billing.
Yes.
But he really pulled off a very good character, although I thought his character was kind of sad. And I don't give away the ending, but it didn't cheer me up at the end. And I thought the entire storyline was a little bit... Well, it's a very serious topic. I mean, going to Poland to visit... And I'm not giving anything away here because it's in the trailers. But going to Poland to visit concentration camps.
It was a Holocaust tour.
Yeah,
a
Holocaust tour, which...
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know who takes their vacation and goes on a Holocaust tour.
Well, I mean, apparently they, you know... The actors, they had something to work through, which I thought, no, they did a very good job. He's just a really good actor.
He's very, I mean, we love him in Succession.
Oh, love that show.
Yeah, that was a brilliant show.
Where he played a pain in the ass.
Yes.
And did it brilliantly. So apparently now he's typecast as a pain in the ass.
That's okay. I'll watch him again.
Yeah, me too.
But anyway, so some other things that have recently annoyed me, and not recently, it's been annoying me for a long time, is two simple phrases or words. One is, I could care less. I am so tired of hearing this, and I still hear it today from broadcasters that are professionals, people that are on TV that say, I could care less, when what they mean is, I believe what they mean is, I couldn't care less, which means you could not care less about a topic, which means you're dismissing it. When you said you could care less, it means, well, you freaking care.
I know. No, that's that doesn't make any sense. Well, and then another one of our favorites is irregardless.
Oh.
The double negative.
And that's, and you told me that's a word. I didn't look it up.
Yeah.
That's officially a word now.
It is. Apparently, if a word is used enough, it will eventually be incorporated into the English dictionary, whether it seems to be appropriate or not. I mean, they put slang in there and everything, but irregardless is now recognized as a word. While we were poo-pooing it when everyone else said it, apparently now it's okay.
Well, it is a double negative. It's like, I can't get no satisfaction. Mm-hmm. I mean, that line always annoyed me from the Stones. I'm not a big fan of double negatives. Although I think in a song I can forgive it, but on broadcast TV I can't.
No.
The other thing that's been bothering me, and this is really the topic for today or for tonight, is autocracies. We both recently read Autocracy, Inc. by Anne Applebaum. A very good read.
Yes, very good.
I mean, I think I read that one night, overnight.
It's a short book, but it is definitely packed with a lot of very good, insightful information, and it's just very thoughtful. I really enjoyed it.
Well, it's super topical for today's political discourse, both internationally and domestically.
Oh yeah.
There are a number of forms of government, but let's talk about autocracy first. Since that's the topic of the book, and we can dive into some other types, since you had me look up the definitions of a lot of different types of government and philosophies. I'll just read to you what I looked up and found out about autocracy. Autocracy is a government system where supreme power is concentrated in the hands of a single individual. The autocrat has unlimited authority and makes decisions without input from stakeholders or the populace. That's pretty straightforward. Now, in the past, I would have called that a dictatorship, but mm-hmm. we can get to dictatorship definition in a moment. It's got a little bit more flexibility. But autocracy is a scary thing. It's exactly the opposite of what we strive to have in the United States, which is representation of the people.
Right. Yeah. And the interesting thing about the book, I know we'll get into that further, but there's different types of crises. You know, it's autocracy and democracy and kleptocracy and all these other things, which was very interesting to me because some of them I hadn't heard of, and a lot of them are very similar. But I think the core, the foundation of a lot of these forms of government or whatever you want to call it, are autocratic.
Yes, I think when times get rough, when things are a little bit difficult, people want strong leadership. And I think that's what an autocrat exploits. They come in and they're offering strong leadership. It might be misguided.
Right.
But it's a direction.
Right.
And it gives you something to follow.
They want somebody to take charge, whether it's to take care of them or fix things or whatever. It would be a natural inclination.
Yeah, it almost becomes a religious thing. But anyway, just I wrote down a couple of the characteristics of autocratic rulers. One is they've hardened themselves against the opinions of their countrymen, as well as the opinion of anyone else. They don't give a shit what other people think. And I'll use an example as Russia. I mean, Vladimir Putin. He can't care.
No.
Any less.
No. He could not care any less.
He could not care any
for
less.
For his own populace. Yes, I agree.
For what they think of him and what we think of him.
Yeah, he just does whatever he wants to.
The other thing about autocrats that seems to be a common thread is they love power. Sometimes they love money too, but they love power more than money. Mm-hmm. They're like addicts. They keep pushing the button long after all the pleasure and satisfaction is gone. More money, more fame, more influence, more power. And that's from a book I recently read called The Future, which deals with autocrats. Oligarchies, and it's an
apocalyptic
story.
Right.
But it does speak to people that have power, is that they just want more power for the sake of having more power.
Right.
They just keep pushing a button even after they've already maxed out the power meter. Autocrats also suppress criticisms and control of the media. They don't like criticism.
No.
I mean, it's very simple. So they try to take over the media as much as possible, and then they criticize or demean the media that does, if they don't put them in jail, they criticize the media that does offer some criticism.
Right.
Some honest opinion.
Well, they discredit them.
Yes, they try to discredit them.
They discredit anybody that disagrees with them, basically. And then in some extremes, it would be, you know, jailed or whatever. But it's definitely discrediting them.
Yes. And it's it's also taking over the media itself and having your own media outlet.
Oh, sure. State media.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think that Russia has free media necessarily. I'm sure they're censored or they're, you know, it's what the government wants to have said or put out is what gets said or put out into the general populace.
Yeah, the government is like Rupert Murdoch. Oops, I slipped up. But the other thing that I thought was interesting was that there's opulence in the autocrat's domicile or residence. It seems that gold is the standard decorating tool.
No, it's just like over-the-top gaudiness, which... I know, we sort of touched on that the other day, which kind of concerns me about the White House, but anyway.
Yes, the White House is turning into a gold-gilded palace.
Yeah. As you said, the Baroque kind of style.
Yes, it is Baroque, yep. The other things about the autocrats, the hardcore ones especially, they've aligned themselves in their determination to undermine the West, especially the U.S. And I think part of that is having the common enemy for their populace. And keeping themselves in power. I'm fighting the good fight for you against the corrupt and decadent West. And it coalesces people if they've got a common enemy.
Right. And I think it's more about discrediting the West and the lifestyle of the West as not being good, as being corrupt, to keep their own population more or less in line.
Right, to make them feel righteous.
Right. You don't want something bad. So if you make it out that the Western civilization is just inherently bad, then nobody's going to want that. And they'll just be satisfied with whatever hoo-ha they have at home.
Yeah. And I think that's especially true of theocracies. And we can talk about that later, too. But I think that's especially true of theocracies. The other thing about these autocracies, and I got this from the book, and this was a bit of an eye-opener, was how much they collaborate on security, military, economic issues. They almost have their own underground economy. Mm-hmm. It's not underground. It's above board, but it's outside the Western's sphere of influence, outside of sanctions. It's like Iran sells drones to Russia for the war in Ukraine. Korea sends troops to Russia for the war in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Russia sells oil to China.
Right. It's if the democracy of the Western world places sanctions on Russia, then they work around it by working with their fellow autocrats.
Yes.
In whatever various forms they take to support one another. I mean, it's like a whole network.
Yeah, and there are some very scary things in there. I mean, the collaboration, the wanting to bring down the West, and just the brutality that they treat their people with, if it's not killing them, pushing them out of windows. I love it. It seems like, is it China where people seem to fall out of
windows? Oh, no, it's Russia.
Oh, it's Russia.
Oh, it's Russia. They're always like, whoops, that guy went out the window. Sorry, 15th floor, bummer.
Fell out of the window. Mm-hmm. But so I also have, I've got examples of autocracies that exist right now. And you can disagree or agree with them, but I think they're pretty clear. And they are from the book mostly. Russia, obviously, is an autocracy. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not a pure autocracy because they have got an oligarchy, which we'll talk about later, mm-hmm. and it's not classless. I mean, communism is supposed to not have any classes, and that's certainly not the case in Russia. But Russia is an autocracy. China is an autocracy. No question about that, that the power falls in Xi's hands, and what he says goes. To a lesser degree, they may have a bit of a... Is it a plutocracy where he has the whole CCP, the China Communist Party,
right.
seems to have some input into what
right.
he does.
Right, right. I mean, well, there's a little bit of communism in there.
Yes.
And so it's communism, it's capitalism, it's an autocracy, because there's some socioeconomic, kind of leanings in there as well. Where they purport to be communist, which is, you know, for the good of the whole and everybody's on an equal footing or whatever. And then they have capitalism and people that succeed, people that don't succeed, government controlling all the companies within a country. They're a real mixed bag.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not pure. And that's what I found going through these different types of or different forms of government is that there are very few pure forms. One might be North Korea. I don't know if there's a theocracy involved in that. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No, I mean, that is just an absolutely pure autocracy. I don't think anybody has any input, including his sister. I think it's...
If anybody with any input died.
A while ago.
Yeah.
Under questionable circumstances.
They probably fell out of a window.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and North Korea is another one that does trade with China, mm-hmm. Does quite a bit of trade with China. I think they offer help to Russia also, so... Well, yeah, they're selling the drones to Russia. Another one is Venezuela. I picked on Venezuela because it's an interesting one because it has a tremendous amount of Western sanctions, and we've really tried to isolate it. But Russia provides investments and loans. Turkey facilitates gold trades. Cuba and China provide security systems. That's military aid, Chinese-made water cannons, tear gas canisters, etc. So they really depend on... Autocracies, Inc.
Right, right. It's like we've with the sanctions, yeah, against Russia too, we've sort of created this.
I want to call it underground.
No, I don't know. It's like a League of Nations, yes. and it's, you know, the bad ones.
Yes,
kind of thing where they band together to prop each other up and to get around our sanctions and things like that. I think one of the things that really struck me in this book was how many countries are like this.
Yes.
I didn't, you know, when growing up as a kid, you know, like in the 60s, where you would hide under your desk, you know, and for the nuclear bomb that was going to drop, the big thing was communism. And it was communism was taking over the world. And that was this huge threat. And it's like, I really don't think that's a case anymore. It's autocrats ruling countries, basically, yes, just ruling countries, doing whatever they want. And then them kind of banding together to create this whole new sort of group of nations that support one another around whatever democratic type sanctions or lifestyle we would want to put out there.
Well, at one time, I think it was George Bush that coined the phrase Axis of Evil.
Yes.
And there were a couple. I mean, there were a handful.
Yeah.
And that was the Axis of Evil. Now it seems like the world is dividing up into two sides.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more than an axis now. Because some of the other ones that I can mention is Belarus, Nicaragua, Angola, Cuba, Myanmar, formerly Burma, the Sudan, and perhaps, the book pointed out, up to 36 more throughout the world. I mean, I know there's 192 or some countries in the world, but this is a significant number of well-developed, economically powerful nations mm-hmm. that are bound together to basically destroy the West. So that is just a little bit scary. The other thing that was a bit of an eye-opener was countries that I didn't traditionally think of as being autocratic, but are leaning that way. One of them is Hungary. I forget his name now, but he's definitely an autocrat and is taking control of the media and is moving towards a dictatorship, even though theoretically it's a democratic country. The other one is Turkey, and that's an interesting one because just this weekend while we were looking up our notes and writing the notes for this particular podcast was that they arrested Erdogan's main rival,
For the election.
Yeah. I think next year they have a presidential election. And this guy is the mayor of Istanbul. Mm. And very popular, very strong. But he was just arrested on, I don't know what the charges were. The headline just said he was arrested and didn't go into any great detail. But he's certainly not out there campaigning. That's concerning because Turkey's a member of NATO, for Pete's sake.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I think of members of NATO as being democratic nations.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Actually, yes, you do, because that's the whole part. You know, the promise of NATO or the reason purpose for NATO was to defend against communism spreading, and I don't think that's really necessarily so much what the problem is anymore.
Yeah, another one that the book mentioned was the Philippines was leaning that way, but actually, I think back to Marcos. And I think that was an autocracy.
Oh, yeah.
It was an autocracy in a shoe shop.
Man, I've been to Manila, and I would never, ever want to go back there again. That's you talk about the rich, you know, driving around in Mercedes through the slums, people living on the street and gutters and stuff. It's bad.
Yeah.
So
going through that, there's only so many types of government. And that's talked about in the book, although the focus is on autocracies. And it's talked about in the news. And I don't know if we want to really get into the different forms of government. If we want to mention some, if you have some questions on them. I looked up the definitions of all of them. And
I just like to say my takeaways are, I mean, we talk about so many different forms. And based on the autocracy model, which is, you know, one guy in charge of everything, you know, free press, you know, pretty much everybody subservient. It's sort of interchangeable with a dictatorship. But that's usually, again, it centralizes power around one person, but it can involve a ruling party or a military juntas.
Yes.
So you see those with dictatorships, oligarchy, families, or individuals that have influence. Kind of reminds me of the mafia. Plutocracy was one of the ocracies that they talked about in the book. And basically, that's the ruling class as being the rich or the elite. And they, you know, swing everything their way. And then I thought this was a good one, a kleptocracy, which is like klepto. And it's basically corruption and exploitation of the state by the government and its officials to enrich themselves over serving the public interest. They're all kind of part of an autocracy.
Yes.
She wrote the book. She did a very good job. I was going back and forth between the different types of governments. And I think she did a great job, but it really does boil down to, I think, to some hybrid of an autocracy.
I think that's what you have. I mean, like, if you look at the definition of dictatorship, as you pointed out, and the definition of an autocrat autocracy, there's very little difference other than you could have a military junta or a political party in charge. And and going through that, there really isn't any. If there are, I don't know if there are any. I said North Korea could be a close one, but there aren't really any pure forms of any type of government. They're all amalgamations or blends of something else. If you've got an oligarchy, or you've got a plutocracy, or you've got an autocracy, you almost have a kleptocracy. It's almost baked into the pie.
Yeah, really. That's true.
Yeah.
But she did bring up some interesting terms that I had not heard of before. So I thought that was interesting to research.
Yeah. Thank you. And not having any real pure forms of any one government is probably a good thing. Otherwise, we'd have nothing but extremes. I mean, that would just be, that'd be global chaos if everybody was had their own form of government and it was pure. But one of the big concerns is that autocracies are growing. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's more, like I mentioned, Hungary, Turkey, Philippines, Singapore. There are more countries that are moving in that direction. Although the one that came away, I guess, I don't know what Syria is these days. Syria was definitely an autocracy under Assad.
Right.
I don't know what it is now.
I don't know either.
A military junta or?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'd have to look that up.
Yeah, that one I don't know about. That just came to mind now as we were talking about this. But I mean, I think it's really important that the democracies of the world have to stay alert and stay together.
Yes.
Which I think there are some issues with that right now in the world, with some of the democracies moving away from each other, mm-hmm. or maybe a specific large democracy moving away from the others. But I think that's a concern, and that's alarming for me.
Yeah, it's not good for the general population to be any of these under any of these types of rule, really, except democracy. And we certainly don't want to give that up. So that's good to be alert. You're right.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on this topic, or do you want to think about what we're going to do next time around? I'd like to pick something that's a little less verbose and requires less
and a little bit more uplifting than than Armageddon, the end of the world. We're going to be pushed out of a window. Oh, I know. I want to look up catocracy.
A what?
A catocracy. I think where cats rule.
Oh. Are you sure that doesn't exist everywhere now?
It probably does, but I think it follows the autocrat rule. You know, it's like it's
an autocat.
Oh, it's an autocat. It's her way or the highway. I want to get fed now. I'm going to unplug the wires behind your TV set if you don't give me my treats. Anyway, I'll research that.
It works for them, and I think they keep us in the dark. We're participants. We're their servants. And when you think about it, it does work out, because I know Bianca gets everything she wants pretty much when she wants it.
Right, and we do need to be cognizant of the fact that we have windows, and she could push us out a window if things don't go her way.
Yeah, we do live in a multi-level home. So that's pretty much it for this week. I'm going to ask Jan this question, and I know what the answer is going to be, but I have to ask it to be polite, because I'm going to mention what I'm listening to. Jan, what have you listened to in the last week?
Nothing. You're going to think I'm a musical Luddite because I never have anything that I'm listening to. Sorry.
But you must listen. Yeah, I know you must listen to something. Well, I'm encouraging you to listen to the new Elton John album, which 4 songs were released. I sent it to you. And he's gone country with...
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's
Brandi Carlile.
Yeah. It's just a very popular genre right now.
Brandi Carlile's a country western person?
I guess so.
Okay. I thought of her from some girl band, actually, originally.
No. Could be. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know that. Well, anyway, what I'm listening to is Nilufer Yanha's 2024 Method Actor. And it was my vote for the best new album of 2024. The idea behind method acting is that you become a character and the line between self and the character dissolves. Nilufer explores this in this album. She doesn't really feel like she's performing. She feels like she is being herself, which is the performer. So and I know I didn't express that.
That sounds very deep.
It is pretty deep. But anyway, the album is very good sonically. Most of the songs have non-fatiguing hooks. I mean, they wrap you in. The music just catches you. Although her lyrics are hard to understand, you sort of need to read them in order to understand what she's saying. But the lyrics are also very good. My two favorite songs are Method Actor, the title album or title song, and Mutations. And it's highly recommended. Like I said, it was my vote for the best new album of 2024, and I encourage everybody to listen to it. And until next week.